It's such a delight to be here today. I've appreciated the many years that you've allowed me to be here. This morning I'd like to talk about the word foundation. It's found in the book of Ezra several times, and we'll be there in just a moment. But one of the first jobs I ever had in construction, a friend of mine who was a professional asked me to come out and help him lay the forms for a new house, to pour the foundation. And we worked all afternoon and evening and into the night with lights to set up this foundation pour, or the forms, so that the next morning about 8 o'clock the concrete could be poured. About 6 o'clock in the morning the foreman showed up and he did something I'd never seen done before. He pulled out a tape measure and measured from corner to corner. Guess what? The professional and his new laborer were out over a foot from corner to corner. And the concrete was going to be there in less than 2 hours. So all the work that we'd done through the night was going to have to be moved in less than 2 hours. And we did it. I learned another thing about that. That you set the transit on the outside of a corner instead of in the middle of the building. So you only have 90 degrees of air if you have air, not 360 degrees of air. Foundations are so important. They're important to buildings. Can you imagine how far they must drive pilings when they build skyscrapers that are 120 stories tall? Just so they won't settle into the ground? Brother Mike and I were on a job one time. It was his job. He, once again, got cheap help. We were down in Duffer, and somebody wanted us to fix a foundation. There were two things wrong with that foundation. Number one, when they poured it, they put rocks in it this big. And number two, they didn't put enough cement in the concrete. And every time you touched it, it just exploded and went to pieces. Well, we worked on it for about a week, and finally Mike, being wise, said, "We quit. Can't fix it." And we walked off. A foundation is of the utmost importance. One of the reasons that you never hear us give an invitation at the end of the service, we have a closing hymn, is we want you to have a good foundation in Christ. And nobody has ever been given a good foundation in an invitation. Christ is the invitation and Christ is the foundation. So He'll meet you. We heard that word visited. He'll visit His people. And He'll give them eternal life. Now in the book of Ezra, chapter 3, we run into this word foundation 4 times in short order. Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3, and in verse 6, 10, 11, and 12 is this word foundation used. And the word itself implies what it expresses, the basis and groundwork of a building. Now the temple had been built many years prior to this. And we'll look at 4 verses of scripture over there at the building of the first temple. But here, at this time, in the book of Ezra, 70 years prior to the day we're visiting here, there was an army that came in and they destroyed the walls of Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple that was there, Solomon's temple. It was no longer existent. And when they came back with the commission by Cyrus, king of a pagan country. It's your responsibility to build the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. Now, there was much attributed, much connected with this, but they were to go back and to rebuild that. Not all the Jews went back. Many of them were satisfied with where they were. And some God touched, some God visited, some God came to, and they were willing to go back. And there was going to be a lot of work to be done when they got back. Well, they're going to offer a sacrifice. We've been talking about that in the past couple of messages. And last week we spoke and looked at that perpetual sacrifice that they had. It was never ended. It was never over until we read about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and finishing the work. He became the sacrifice that would put away sin for time and eternity. These offerings could not. Well, they offered the sacrifice, and now it tells us in verse 6 of Ezra chapter 3, it says, "The first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid." Now the extent of laying the foundation to the temple was great when it was originally built. But I want us to note that when they rebuild the temple, they don't look at a pile of rubble and say, "Well, we can't build it there, we'll move it over here." It was very important that they built that temple, the second temple, on exactly the same place that the original temple was, because this was Mount Zion. And they didn't have room to move it. They didn't want to move it. God wouldn't allow them to move it. It's just like us. We don't have the time to move the foundation that God has given us. And God's people don't want to move it because that foundation is Christ the Lord. In verse 10 of this chapter, it says, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel." And there in verse 11, "And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." What great praise went out when they saw what had once been beautiful, had been destroyed, and now had been reestablished. They looked at it as the workers put it back together, and they shouted and praised the Lord that the foundation was right where it had been, and it is now going to make the preparation for the building that was going to go up. And then in verse 12, "But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men." Now, I failed to do something. I failed to look up that word, but that means old. They're old folks. They've been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. So we're looking at them being 80, 90 or older. But they could remember what the old temple was like. And it tells us there, the chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. I think there was some weeping because this whole event had been caused by the sin of Israel. Oh my. We are a wretched folk. Look what happened as a result. The temple was destroyed. And then there were some that said, "This isn't quite as pretty as the old one." Whatever reason. They went, but those who were there that had never seen the old one shouted aloud for joy. A great thing had happened. They had laid the foundation. This morning in our study of foundation, we'd like to examine foundation as it we see it spoken of in the Scriptures. Now there's much said in the Bible, and I would like to direct your attention to the book of the Psalms. Would you turn with me to the book of the Psalms? In Psalm 102. Now when we talk about foundations, talk about foundation, we find and the church is so comforted to know that it was God that laid the foundation of the world. That it was not given over to some chance. It was not given over to luck. But here in the Psalm 102 and verse 25, we have these words about the foundation of the world. How valuable it is for us to read in the Scriptures that it is God that creates. He creates the physical world. He gives us physical life. He creates in the spiritual world. He gives us spiritual life. And it is He alone that is the Creator of all things. We have no creation without the Creator. That's the problem that we face in religion, and that is there are people who believe that they have the ability of raising the dead. And if they did, the mortuaries would be put out of business. Now, it would be much easier to raise from the physical dead than it is to raise from the spiritual dead. So, we wouldn't need it if they could, but they can't. So we need someone who can. All right, here in the Psalm 102 and verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the world. What's that mean? He thought it, He wrought it, He produced it, He brought it out. It was in such pristine order before the fall. It went through the fall like human beings went through the fall. It was marred. There's much marring upon this earth, and yet we still go out into pristine areas and say, oh my goodness, what a creator we have that would create this as it is. The beautiful trees, the grass, and all the critters and everything, from a butterfly to a whatever. God is in control of creation, and He laid the foundation of the world. He laid the foundation of every critter that we have. There in the Garden of Eden, He created all the critters out of the dust of the ground. He was the one that instituted, marked, moved out, caused to be every living thing. All the first grass, He produced it. Every tree, He produced it. All the fruit, He produced that. Every fir tree, myrtle tree, He produced that. And then by His grace, and by His grace alone, He created man out of the dust of the earth. Breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He saw it was not good that man should be alone, so He gave him a wife. Created her from the rib of Adam. He is the one that laid the foundation of all the earth. This is wrought out so many times in the Scriptures. Would you turn with me one more book to the book of Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19, we read these words. The Lord by wisdom. That's an interesting word used right here. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. It was God's wisdom that did it as it is. He is the one who has laid the foundation. He founded the earth. He laid the foundation of the world and every system upon the earth. Every kingdom we have, the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the human kingdom. He's the one that founded them all, and He did it in wisdom. I just don't understand, when I eat food, how I have water squirted on it to help the digestive process. In wisdom. Can you imagine swallowing all your food dry? In wisdom, He designed every way that the plants would reproduce. In wisdom, He designed every animal, how it would come forth. In wisdom. God tells us there in the Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. Every star in place, and you can mark it down, and it will be there for generations to come, millennial to come. It will be there. This is God in His wisdom laying the foundation. And we have all of this preliminary to share with us that it is the same exact way that God lays down the foundation of our salvation. It was not out of ignorance, but it was in great wisdom that He shares with us His grace. In Isaiah chapter 48, would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 13, as we find the words that give us comfort. Where did this all happen?
God.
How did it happen?
Because of God.
He has laid the foundation. He did it in wisdom. He put the stars in the space by His own worthiness and by His own creation. He named all of them. He gave us the sun. Isn't it interesting that the sun is just the right distance away from the earth? We don't freeze and we don't burn up. Isn't it interesting that the moon is there and controls the tides? We have a new moon. We have a full moon. And you can look at places on the internet now, it'll tell you when the full moon will be in 3049 in February. It can be traced and put in its spectrum, its place, with such great care by the God of creation. Here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48 and verse 13, it tells us, "Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth." I didn't leave it up to another. I didn't turn it over to somebody to do. It wasn't a process that it went through. In 6 days, God created. And the seventh day, not out of weariness, but giving an example that rest can only be found in God, He rested. What a mighty God. Now, if He'd have wanted to, He could have done it in 1 second. But He chose to show us. Oh, He just laid it out so clearly. This is what I did the first day. And we stand in marvel. How could that happen? It's because of God. Second day. Oh, look at that. A panoramic view. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, the seventh day. All that God did as He created the heavens and the earth. Now, the word foundation at times is used in the Scriptures as a reference about time. Would you turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1? Ephesians, chapter 1. We find in Ephesians, chapter 1, some wonderful things about all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And here in Ephesians, chapter 1, and verse 4, we have a foundation is used in as reference to time. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." How long ago that was when God created the heavens and the earth, we have some estimations. We can guesstimate. I personally believe it's between 6 and 10,000 years, but don't hold me to it. But whatever it is, before the foundation of the world, God was interested in saving some people from their sins. And it says He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Knowing full well what would happen in the garden, knowing full well we would descend from that partook of sin in the garden, Adam, our father, first Adam. He knew what we would be like. He knew our hearts would be in error. Our hearts would be opposed to Him. It tells us, before the foundation of the world, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And then the rest of the chapter continues to build on that. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3? Hebrews chapter 3, we have some thoughts about this foundation of the world again as a measurement of time. When did God choose His people? Before the foundation of the world. In all eternity. Here in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, we read here in verse 3. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in My wrath, if they shall enter into rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." He was a lamb slain. The work was finished. It was all laid out. It was purposed. God had set into motion what He'd already determined, what He'd already decreed, what He'd already had in motion. It is already in action before the foundation of the world. God allows us to measure that just a little bit. In chapter 9 and verse 26 of this book of Hebrews, it says, "For then must he have often have suffered, if he'd have been a natural man, a normal man, like you and I, if he'd have been like that, he must have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." If he was just natural, it'd have been a process, just like we find with regard to those animal sacrifices throughout the Old Testament. They're not the foundation. They're the picture, and they're the type, and they're the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He is the foundation of the church. Not works, but Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, there are a number of types of found in the temple, and I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 5. There's three verses here we'd like to read. Three verses in 1 Kings, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. One verse in each of those. So if you'd find those places, 1 Kings, chapter 5. David had wanted to build a temple, but he was instructed by God he could not. His son would be the one that would be the overseer in the building of the temple. His son would make contracts with those that had the cedar trees of Lebanon. His son would make contracts with those who would produce all of the gold and silver and other things that would be used. It was the son, Solomon, who was in charge of the contracts. But here in the book of 1 Kings, we have the building of that temple, and the first thing that is required, the first thing that is necessary for any building that's going to stand. I remember a preacher that we had at camp one time talking about a building down there in the south. Beautiful, beautiful, modern church building. And they didn't put enough cement in the concrete, and the foundation was crumbling underneath the weight of the building. The foundation is of the utmost importance. So before we can have any of the superstructure of the temple, we must, and God lays it out so clearly and so plainly here in the book of 1 Kings about how they put this foundation together. And it was not just, you know, we used to build forms. We wanted to pour a pad. We would go in there and put concrete around it, and fill it full of dirt and rock, and have about that much concrete on the top and slope it over to the edge and pour it. God said, that's not sufficient for my temple. We're not going to have a bunch of gravel. We're not going to have a bunch of dirt. We're going to have cut stone. And it's going to be giant cut stone. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 17, the scriptures share this. The king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and hewn stones, to lay the foundation of the house. That's the first temple that was built. Costly stones. Great stones, costly stones, and hewn stones. And the wonderful thing about it, there was not the sound of a saw or hammer on site. This was all done off site. How it speaks so gloriously of the grace of God, of the purposes of God, that He didn't come down and was caught short and had to change some dimensions after it was started to be put together. It was all taken care of off-site. Before the foundation of the world, it was taken care of. And now, as these great giant stones are being brought together, they are so close together. They are perfect in their shape and in their size. They're brought for the temple of God, the Most High God, who has created all things and laid down the foundation of the world, and He has chosen His people before the foundation of the world. Now we have this temple foundation being laid, and notice the stones. Chapter 6 and verse 37. It shares here, in the fourth year was the foundation of the house of the Lord laid in the month Ziph. In the fourth year was the foundation of the Lord laid. And then in chapter 7 and verse 10, we read these words. The foundation was of costly stones, even great stones, stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. Those stones were taller than this ceiling. 15 feet was the large ones. 15 feet cube. How can you handle a stone like that without all of the hydraulic machinery that we have today? God was in charge of it, and He gave them wisdom on how to do it. And then it tells us there were stones in there that were another size, and they are of 12 feet square. My goodness. This is no small feat. It was costly stones, beautiful stones, hewn stones, brought together to build the foundation of the temple. How many types and shadows and pictures are found in there? The foundation was of costly stones. Even great stones. Stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. You and I, put together, couldn't push them around. They speak of a great God and a costly foundation, a hewn foundation, a beautiful foundation, and that's the foundation that He placed His church on when it comes to spiritual things. Turn with me over to the New Testament again. Here we have this declaration that's made in the types and shadows and pictures of the laying of the foundation of the stones for the temple. And then as it was torn down by invaders, and 70 years later they go back and they start to rebuild it, it's been put back together with great stones again to declare that God is the God of security. He's the God that sets up the foundation. He's the God that provides the Christ of our foundation. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we find the Apostle Paul was led to write to those saints at Corinth, brothers and sisters at Corinth, to encourage them, to share with them, and then there would be some that he would challenge what foundation they were on. Do you have this as the foundation? Your spiritual foundation, is He Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." No other stones would do in the temple. And certainly no other stone, no other foundation will do for a believer. Must be Christ. Goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble." Gold, silver, or precious stones are spiritual blessings that God gives us, and they are secure. Wood, hay, and stubble. If you put your hope in a foundation and you're just producing wood, hay, and stubble, you don't have the right foundation. It is God speaking of Christ as the true foundation. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The most important stone of the building is Jesus Christ. Now, what was their message? What was the message of the apostles? What was the message of the prophets? Jesus Christ is the foundation. Christ and Him crucified is the message. There is no other foundation that will secure you. It is all slop and slime without it. We are in a horrible pit and we're in the miry clay. Try to get traction in that. What does He do? He sets us on the solid rock, the true foundation. God laid the foundation for the church. Brother Craig read that passage over in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 54, and one verse in there says, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay the foundation with sapphires. What's he talking about? Tossed. Afflicted, that's tossed. And then he brings up a foundation. By nature, we're tossed by everything that comes along. The wicked are like the troubled sea, tossed back and forth. And then he says, I have a foundation. The foundation is Christ. And he is the creator of life, and he secures everyone that he creates in spiritual capacity. He secures them to him, the true foundation. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at Peter, and religionists said, Oh my goodness, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. The whole thing is, Peter, I want you to pay attention to this. The church is built on Jesus Christ the rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and hallelujah, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We read over in the Old Testament that physical temple that was built by Solomon, that physical temple built in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, were both destroyed and are no longer standing. But this temple, the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, founded upon the true foundation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Will not destroy it. We have eternal life, everlasting life in Jesus Christ. No, the Lord Jesus brings out in his great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 brings out this thought. He said, He that heareth my word and believeth it. That belief, if you've heard it and believe, it's because God has visited with the ability to believe. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, the wise man built his house upon the rock. I learned that when I was in Sunday school. And nobody ever shared the reality of that. It was just a song. Well, here in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, therefore, he's concluding his message. If you have a Bible with the words of the Lord in red, you could go back to chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, and he's preaching a message, the Sermon on the Mount. And in his conclusion, he says, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken it unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What is he saying? All my people have a foundation, and his name is Jesus Christ the righteous. The next verse. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The wise man, God gave his wisdom to a few to trust Christ. And he said, You have me as your foundation. To many, they're satisfied with a semblance of a house built upon the sand. I remember those folks down there that knew something about building in the Rogue Valley. Don't build your house on the floodplain. It's sand, and you're going to get washed away, and guess what? Every 20, 30 years, cleaned it out. Well, we see it all over. That's what's going to happen if we build our house on the sand, upon religion, upon self, but on Christ. Now, there is a passage of Scripture over in the book of Ezekiel. I'd like to close with this. Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there is no peace, and one built a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. That means they didn't put any lime in it. And it's going to be like that foundation that Mike and I worked on. Every time we tried to get it so we could do something with it, another part broke out, fell away. And we could say, they didn't build this right. We could say that, but couldn't do a thing about it. It was going to take the moving of that house and build a new foundation, put it back on. Untempered mortar. Verse 11, say unto them which dabbed it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, all great hailstones shall fall, and the stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the dabbing wherewith you have dabbed it? You add your works, it's going to fall. Have Christ, you have the real foundation. And so, they rejoiced. The foundation was laid. And that's what God's people do. We do it on a daily basis. I rejoice in my foundation. I've been taken from a horrible pit with a miry clay and set on a solid rock. I rejoice. I no longer have to put up with that. I am fastened to the rock, which cannot move. Fastened to Christ. And I didn't do the fastening. He's the one that has done that too. Brother Mike.